You're listening to Policy Conversations on AIDS.gov. The following audio was adapted from an AIDS.gov blog post. It was written by Dr. Ronald Valtasari, the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Health, Infectious Diseases, and was originally posted on July 19, 2012. An often referenced concept in current conversations about our efforts to address HIV/AIDS in the United States is the so-called treatment cascade. This concept is a model being used by federal, state, and local agencies to identify issues and opportunities related to improving the delivery services to persons living with HIV across the entire continuum of care, from diagnosis of HIV infection and active linkage in care, to initiation of antiretroviral therapy, retention in care, and eventually viral suppression, meaning no detectable virus in the blood. The HIV/AIDS treatment cascade is a way to show in visual form the numbers of individuals living with HIV/AIDS who are actually receiving the full benefits of the medical care and treatment they need. This model was first described by Dr. Edward Gardner and his colleagues, who reviewed current HIV/AIDS research and developed estimates of how many individuals with HIV in the U.S. are engaged at various steps in the continuum of care from diagnosis through viral suppression. Their analysis, published in the March 2011 edition of the Journal of Clinical Infectious Diseases, found that along each step of the cascade, a significant number of people living with HIV/AIDS in the U.S. fall off, and only a minority of persons with HIV actually achieve suppression of their viral infection. Subsequently, in late 2011, CDC did its own analysis of HIV surveillance datasets, viral load, and CD4 laboratory reports, and other published data to develop national estimates of the number of HIV-infected persons at each step of the treatment cascade. Their findings, published in CDC's Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report, were similar to those of Dr. Gardner and his colleagues and can be summarized as follows. For every 100 individuals living with HIV in the United States, it's estimated that 80 are aware of their HIV status, 62 have been linked to HIV care, 41 stayed in HIV care, 36 get antiretroviral therapy, and 28 are able to adhere to their treatment and sustain undetectable viral loads. In short, CDC estimated that only 28% of the more than 1 million individuals in the U.S. who are living with HIV/AIDS are getting the full benefits of the treatment they need to manage their needs and keep the virus in control. Put another way, nearly 3 out of every 4 people living with HIV in the United States have failed to successfully navigate the treatment cascade. The HIV/AIDS treatment cascade provides a way to examine critical questions, including how many individuals living with HIV are getting tested and diagnosed? Of those, how many are linked to medical care? Of those, how many are retained in care? And of those, how many are receiving antiretroviral therapy? How many are able to adhere to that treatment plan and achieve viral suppression? By closely examining these separate steps, policymakers and service providers are able to pinpoint where gaps may exist in connecting individuals living with HIV to sustained quality care. Knowing where the drop-offs are most pronounced and for what populations helps national, state, and local policymakers and service providers to implement service improvements and service enhancements that better support individuals as they move from one step in the continuum to the next. Reducing these drop-offs across the continuum of HIV is vitally important for the following reasons. Lowering the amount of virus in the body can keep a person with HIV living longer and healthier. Keeping the virus under control, namely an undetectable viral load, greatly lowers the chances of passing HIV on to others. And more than 18,000 people with AIDS die each year. The number of people with HIV who get AIDS are decreased over time because of advances in medical care and ART. Still, without treatment, most persons with HIV develop AIDS within 10 years of infection, which results in substantial morbidity and premature death. As colleagues at the CDC have noted, to meet the goals of the National HIV/AIDS Strategy and break the cycle of HIV transmission in the United States, we must achieve high levels of engagement at every stage in the continuum. How is the HIV/AIDS treatment cascade being used? The federal level, government agencies use the treatment cascade to inform discussions about how best to prioritize and target resources. For example, the treatment cascade points to the importance of continuing to support the adoption of routine HIV testing of all adults and adolescents in medical care settings. Simply stated, we won't be able to link more individuals with HIV/AIDS into care if we can't diagnose them. At the state and local levels, program planners also apply the treatment cascade, using local data, to assess where resources are needed and then to target them accordingly. For example, the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health produced a program brief summarizing data on the spectrum of engagement in care and treatment for all persons infected with HIV in LA County. Similar analysis has been done in San Francisco, Chicago, Washington, D.C., and other communities, enabling them to take steps to improve engagement at each step in the continuum of HIV care. We'll continue to feature more examples of how various partners are using the treatment cascade to assess and improve HIV programs and services. In the meantime, how are you using treatment cascade, and what are your ideas about how it could be used to achieve the goals of the National HIV/AIDS Strategy? Join the conversation at blog.aids.gov.